Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us today. It's Friday. Let's just push back on all the distractions, all the thoughts ping-ponging around in your head, and focus in on what God through the Holy Spirit is going to speak into your heart. We are on our second show of this series that, if I gave it a title, I'd call it, You Do Not Take This Lightly. And that is what our Heavenly Father is saying to each of us about His Son, the sacrifice Jesus made for us, what God has done for us. I don't want you to be lukewarm about this. I don't want you to drift. I don't want you to ignore this. I want you to dig in and go deeper. And we'll get to that discussion in just a moment. Let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. Just type in 721 Ministries and you'll find our websites, you'll find our podcasts, our past radio shows, everything you need to know. Just search 721 Ministries. And before I get into the discussion today, I want to give two shout-outs to two men and their companies that help 721 Ministries out tremendously. John Judy at Touchpoint Energized Communications does all our website work, and he does a fine job. He's so easy to work with. He's so creative. He's such a can-do kind of man. John Judy, Touchpoint Energized Communications. His number is 864-363-5982. That's 363-5982. And then Gayton Heeman at IT Pros does all of our IT work. And their company is tremendous. They're so good at setting up systems. They're so good at troubleshooting, at creativity. IT Pros is a tremendous IT pro company. So please check in with them. You can find them on the web. Both of these men have helped us so much. So please check in to them. Now, we started last week with this outline that I'll give it to you again. Do not take this lightly, your Heavenly Father says. And in the last show, we looked where he encourages us to not take it lightly. He encourages us to go deeper. But he also warns us that you better not take this lightly. Number two, we are held accountable for the light given. And my friend, if you're listening to this today, you have been given a lot of light. You've been given a lot of exposure to the gospel. And it is a constant theme throughout Scripture that you are accountable for the light given. And therefore, number three, you have no excuse. And I might add to that, so don't make any excuses. The important things get done. If it's important to you, you'll make it happen. If it's not, you'll make excuses. So when this idea is presented to you, come on, go deeper. Dig in. Commit more. Entrust more. Invest more time and energy and thought and your heart. Bring the Holy Spirit into every moment that you have. If you start making excuses, hold your breath, because you have none. Number four, therefore, we want to respond. We are in the Jewish mind, when you believe something, you respond to that belief. Belief carries with it equal parts response. So to say that you have put your trust in Jesus, but it doesn't compel you to change everything you're doing and the way you're doing it, making every effort that we'll see, Peter says in his second letter, in the very first chapter, make every effort. Number five, as Jesus said, whatever it takes. It's as if someone found a treasure in a field. He went out, sold everything he had, bought that field so he could get to that treasure. The gospel, life in the kingdom, is a treasure. And then number six, the Holy Spirit is waiting to help you. Jesus said He is your helper, so bring Him into this. What I'm trying to encourage you today is to realize that there is so much more. Wherever you are in your walk, there's so much more. That's my encouragement. My warning is that your Heavenly Father makes it very clear He does not appreciate you taking this lightly, casually, that it hasn't really changed your entire life, your entire being. We looked at last week, Hebrews 10:29, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? That means to treat it as something that has no real value to you. Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them. Holy means to set apart. So if you treat something as unholy, you're not setting it apart as anything special. So how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who is treated as a just not really special thing, the blood of the covenant that has sanctified them? And those people who have insulted the Spirit of grace. Well, how do we insult the Spirit of grace? I mean, you and I are not going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but we sort of pick it up in Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. That's what God says to you. Through the Holy Spirit, I take no pleasure in one who shrinks back. C.S. Lewis says it like this. We may be content to remain what we call ordinary people, but He, God, is determined to carry out a quite different plan. To shrink back from that plan is not humility, it is laziness and cowardice. See, your Heavenly Father says, I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. This is very familiar to you, I'm sure, but hear Jesus' words in Revelation 3:15. I know your deeds. See, He's saying, I see into your heart that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. I can deal with cold and I can deal with hot, but because you're lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That ought to be a wake-up call for any of us. A man that I know who part of his investment in his church is he takes the 13-year-olds through confirmation each spring. And, of course, the culmination of that is they have a ceremony at church and they receive a Bible and maybe a certificate and whatever. And he mentioned to me that the week before the confirmation service, one of the boys, one of the teenage boys, pulled him aside and said, I don't want to go through it. I don't really believe this yet. I'm not so sure about any of this, and I would feel like a phony going through it. And my first thought was, that boy is in the best shape of any of them. Based on my own experience with grown-ups who have gone through those, so many of them are just going through the motions. Some is real, but most of them are just going through the motions. They're just doing what they're told to do. Not saying they're lukewarm, because they probably don't know enough to know whether they're lukewarm, but this boy is cold. And God can deal with that. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'd rather you be one or the other. I can work with you when you're cold or hot, but this lukewarm thing, it makes me sick to my stomach. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 17 in chapter 3, you say I am rich and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. Well, what you'd probably say is, I'm okay. I'm not perfect, but I'm okay. God, I'm doing the best I can. What do you expect? I'm okay. Just as I know I could use a little polishing up. But here's what Jesus says. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Without Jesus. Ouch. If we do realize that, we are not going to be lukewarm. We're going to be digging deeper. We're going to be searching, investing. We are looking for that intimate relationship because it's what He wants for us. And quite frankly, it's what He requires of us. Again, I'm not trying to push you towards legalism or performance. This is not a got to. This is a get to. This is important to me. I want to invest more of my life, my soul, my heart, my focus, my balance in this. I came across a passage in Jeremiah that shook me up. It knocked me off of my chair when I read it. Listen closely. This is Jeremiah 3, starting at verse 6. During the reign of King Josiah, King Josiah was one of the pretty decent kings in the southern kingdom. You remember at this point after Solomon, the northern kingdom had split from the southern kingdom. And we go through a series of kings in 1st and 2nd Kings, and all of them in the north are sorry. Sorry lot of kings. In the south, most of them are sorry. You get a little sprinkling of some decent kings. Josiah is one of them. At this point, when Jeremiah is writing, the northern kingdom has already been wiped out by Assyria. So listen to these words. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? Remember that term, faithless Israel. Have you seen what she has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. In other words, idols, sacrifices to idols. Verse 7, I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me. But she did not, and her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. faithless Israel, northern kingdom, unfaithful sister Judah, saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Again, in God's eyes, as you read the entire Old Testament, it becomes a wedding covenant. So he's using marriage language. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery because Israel's, faithless Israel's immorality mattered so little to her. She defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense. What God is describing is that faithless Israel, the northern kingdom, who had a sorry lot of kings, they behaved so poorly, he allowed the Assyrians to come and wipe them out. He thought that faithless Israel would turn back from their poor behavior, but they didn't. But he surely thought that faithful Judah would, because they had been given so much light. They've got the temple. They've got these prophets. They've got the priesthood. Surely they would respond differently. Listen to verse 11. The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. You get that? Faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Now, I don't want to offend you if you live in Oregon, but Oregon's the most unchurched state in the Union. So we could say Oregon is more righteous than unfaithful South Carolina, right here in the Bible Belt. California, faithless California is more righteous than unfaithful Greenville, South Carolina, right here in the Bible Belt. Europe, faithless Europe is more righteous than unfaithful America, because we have been given so much light and we are held accountable to that and we must respond. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us. I will admit, I'm being a little harsh with you. I'm slapping you around a little bit. I'm seeking to wake you up. Because too many of us who are real Christians, who have been born again, who have the Holy Spirit, we get distracted. And we get busy. And we start to drift. And the result is, the bottom line is, we end up ignoring such a great salvation as we read in Hebrews 2:3. And as God says in Hebrews 2:3, how should we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? I would encourage you to keep digging, keep going deeper. Slowing your life down. Spending time, what we call the first 60 seconds, before you ever move in bed. Before you ever even open your eyes and just start thanking your Heavenly Father for everything He has done for you. And if you really will just slow down and be in the moment, you won't be able to finish the thanking. Because as your mind expands with Him, you just think of so many more things that He's done for you. And then you start with a quiet time. If you're not having a quiet time in the morning, and you can tell me that you're saying you don't understand, don't give me excuses. It's not my life. It's your life. And you're going to stand before your Heavenly Father. I would encourage you to have a quiet time. I will tell you that He didn't appreciate it when you don't give Him more time after all He's done for you. So spending time in Scripture, get a good devotional, cup of coffee, quiet before everybody gets up. You cannot do it with everybody running around the house. If it means you have to get up 20 minutes early or 30 minutes early, if the important things will get done. I know of no godly man who doesn't spend time in the morning with God. And then as you go about your day, before you start changing the things you do, you change how you do the things you're already doing. You bring the Holy Spirit in. As Dallas Willard said, a conversational walk through life, talking with God about what we are doing together. Every one of us can really increase that conversational walk through life, bringing Him into the details. Then throughout the day, you're thinking and reflecting, how can I bring him in? This is his world, not mine. It's his kingdom, not mine. It's his story, not mine. Then you start looking for books, the great books that are out there. That when I think about my journey over these last 20-some-odd years, yes, Scripture has had a tremendous influence on my heart and my life and my soul and my mind. And so have all these books I've read that just take me deeper and deeper into the kingdom. If it's important to you, you'll do it. If it's not, you'll make excuses. You are held accountable for the light given, and it does matter to your Heavenly Father. And we just looked at this Jeremiah passage where this faithless Israel is considered in God's eyes more righteous than unfaithful Judah, where the temple is, where Jerusalem is, where the priesthood is, because Judah has had so much more light than the northern kingdom of Israel. And God says, in my eyes, that sorry lot up there in the northern kingdom that have no, they're just worthless in their worship, they're more righteous than you because you've been given more light. And yet, it hasn't mattered to you. I'm going to tease this out in the next show, so you definitely want to be listening to all these shows. This is our second show. But just to give you a scene here, and then we'll dive into it more next week. Imagine this scene on the beach. Picture this scene, and in front of your eyes, on the left, is the shoreline, and then the ocean is on the right. It's that beautiful Caribbean clear blue and emerald green, and on the left on the beach is someone asleep under a beach umbrella. Next to that person on the beach is someone throwing the frisbee. Take a few steps further, and there's someone standing waist-deep in the water. A little bit further, you've got someone body surfing. A little bit further, you've got someone swimming. A little bit further, you've got someone in a boat. Next to the boat is someone snorkeling. Below the one snorkeling is someone scuba diving. Deeper down below that person scuba diving is a scuba diver down on a wreck looking for treasure. Have you got that picture in your mind? We've got the beach on the left, a man or a woman asleep on the beach, a man or a woman throwing the frisbee, someone waist deep in the water, someone else riding the waves, body surfing, someone else swimming out a little further, then someone in a boat, then someone snorkeling next to the boat, then someone scuba diving, and then someone scuba diving deep. And this represents this whole journey of going deeper. And the man or the woman throwing the frisbee is looking at the person asleep, his friend or her friend under the umbrella, saying, come on, get up, throw the frisbee with me. This is fun. And the person in the standing waist deep in the water is saying to the friend throwing the frisbee, come on, this water's great. The man body surfing, the woman body surfing is saying, try this. This is so much fun. And then the person out there swimming, I've been to Hawaii once. I used to be a big swimmer. And I was in Hawaii once, and I was in a fairly populated area, so I didn't feel like I was in any danger when I went out about 100 yards, crystal clear water. It looked like it was 60 or 70 feet deep. There were two boats anchored a quarter of a mile apart, and I started swimming laps between them. And it was fascinating what I was seeing as I was swimming. It kind of took my breath away. I mean, it's a far cry from being in a swimming pool or in a lake, swimming laps. And a sea turtle came out from nowhere, and I followed it. I just got out of my little rhythm and followed the sea turtle. And so I came back to my friend that was on the beach, and I said, you've got to come out here and try this. You won't believe what you're missing. And if you've ever been in that situation and you get on a boat, you see even more on the boat. And if you drop off of that boat and go scuba dive, go snorkeling, you say to your friend up in the boat, come on, you got to put on a mask. You won't believe what you can see. And then if you've ever been scuba diving, which I have, I'm certified to scuba dive, I say to the person snorkeling, oh, but you got to try this, because now you can hang out down here, and you can see so much more. And then my friend who went open water diving out in the Atlantic Ocean on what they call the Wreck of the Richmond off of Georgetown, South Carolina, he said to me one time, have you ever done that, Sam? I said, no. He said, oh, you got to try that. He said, I'll never forget it. He said, if there are 1,000 fish, there are 1,000,000 fish. And to this day, that is what's fixed in my mind. I did do it. And there were 1,000,000 fish. Never seen anything like it. Then another friend says, have you gone to 100 feet? Because 100 feet, you're going to see things you've never seen before. This is what Jesus is saying. Come on, step out. Come on, get into the water. Come on, get into these waves. Come on out here and swim a little bit. Get out in a boat. Get out of the boat and do a little snorkeling. Quit snorkeling. Put on some tanks, air tanks, and go a little deeper. You won't believe what's waiting for you. But each person is saying to that person calling them to come on out, they're saying what maybe? What might they be saying? No, I'm fine right where I am. I'm okay right here. Okay. Yeah, that's good for you, but no. There's nothing really to see. You're just, you know, you're just exaggerating. Or that's good for you, but I'm fine right here. And no, I don't need to do that. Or maybe you might say, I'm busy right now. I got other things going on. Or you might say, you know, you're just a fanatic. You're just a fanatic. I'm not doing all that. I'm fine right where I am. You make these excuses, and Jesus does not appreciate that. He does not appreciate you shrinking back, as we read in that Hebrews 10 passage. He is not pleased with those who shrink back. You know, Jesus tells this story in Luke 9. We read this story as they were walking along the road. A man said to him, I will follow you wherever I go. And Jesus said, well, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And you can just picture that man walking off. And then Jesus said to another man, follow me. And he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Well, if his father was dead in that culture, he wouldn't even be out there seeing Jesus. He'd be back attending to his father's funeral. He's just making excuses. You don't want to be making excuses to your Heavenly Father. Is it important to you? Stop and ask yourself, where am I on that little beach diagram? Am I sitting under an umbrella? Well, probably not. Have I gotten up and at least I'm throwing the frisbee? Have I gotten into the water? Am I out there swimming around looking? Have I gotten to a point where my feet don't touch anymore and I'm really out there exploring? Am I willing to start moving towards diving down on that shipwreck? Because as Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Whatever it takes, Jesus says, is what that kingdom of heaven looks like. There's a passage in Matthew 11 that has always been a strange passage to me. Matthew 11:12. I'm going to read it in two different versions. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. That's one translation. Here's another one. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Have you read that passage? It doesn't make much sense to me until I started to understand the Greek language behind it. Let me show you how this works. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. That Greek word behind that is biazo, B-I-A-Z-O. And it could mean to use violence or force, but can also mean to break out or to break forth. So as we continue to read, and forceful men lay hold of it, that Greek word is harpazo. It could mean to snatch or lay hold of or to seize, but it also could mean to pursue, to seek. So let me read this as I believe Jesus intended it. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been breaking forth, and those breaking forth have been pursuing it. Jesus is painting this picture that if you are living in the kingdom and it has really gotten into your heart and soul and captured you, you're going to be in pursuit, passionate pursuit. You are not going to let anything get in the way of your going deeper. Making every effort. And I want to read to you C.S. Lewis in this comment that he makes about this developing godly habits. And yet, and this is the other and equally important side of it, this helper, the Holy Spirit helper, who will in the long run be satisfied with nothing less than absolute perfection, will also be delighted with the first feeble stumbling effort you make tomorrow to do the simplest duty. As George MacDonald pointed out, every father is pleased at the baby's first attempt to walk. No father would be satisfied with nothing less than a firm, free, manly walk in a grown-up son. And he concludes, God is easy to please, but hard to satisfy. My friends, your Heavenly Father is easy to please. He's just looking to you to make that first step, to decide today, you know, I don't want to stay where I am. I want to go deeper. I am going to change how I do things and what I do so that I can experience more of the kingdom and get closer to my Savior Jesus Christ. May you learn to develop godly habits as the Holy Spirit carries you along. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.